You're it. You're at Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's. No Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do. Cannot. Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch
no,
blue.
No,
make it
no,
true.
No. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird! Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring don't shine.
Hey, Lloyd, look, there's some people who want to ride too.
Pick them up!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Oh my god, seriously?
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. So get off your ass, let's do some math. Math, 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 math. 3 minus 4 is -1. That's right. And 6 times a billion is...
6 billion?
Nailed it. And 54 is a 45 more than what is the answer, Marta?
9.
No, it's 8.
No, it's 9.
Yes, I was testing you. It's 9. And that's a magic number.
So what we're going to do in this video is we're going to take a look at the first moments of creation. We're going to try to understand the birth of the creation of the universe using a nut, a walnut here, as our template. And this is something I literally just found this in my backyard. And so what we're going to do is go back to the first moments of creation, understand the cosmological principles, the laws of nature, if you will, the scientific principles to understand how our nature, how the universe unfolded. And we're going to look at the geometry of it. We're going to look at the philosophy of it, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing we're going to do is take a look at this walnut. Now, what this walnut is a seed. And so, and within the seed, of course, what's inside there is the walnut. And of course, some squirrel came along and cracked it open and had himself a nice dinner. But the nourishment, you could call it the life force, is within this. Now, this seed has the potential and the possibility of becoming an entire tree. And so the form, the pattern of the entire tree that will become this ecosystem actually exists within this potential, this possibility here of the seed. Now, what we're going to do is equate the birth of creation to this seed. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to take all the potential, all the pattern, all the possibility of our unfolding universe as it is right now, and we're going to put it all back inside a seed. Now, many cultures do this. Modern science does this as well. Basically, we say that in the beginning of all creation, there was some sort of form. We could call it a circle. We could call it a sphere. We could call it a seed. Modern science calls it a primordial atom, that everything in the universe was once encased inside something that's smaller than the point of a pen, is what they say. So in the beginning, you had all the potential law of the universe inside a circle, a sphere, a seed, an atom. We could call this an egg. Many different cultures have called it many different things, mythologized it many different ways. In Hinduism, the beginning with the cosmos is known as Brahmanda, and Brahma means cosmos, and Anda means egg. And so we have the cosmic egg, if you will. Egyptian cosmogony, same thing. You have the cosmic egg. In alchemy, you have philosopher's egg. In the Grecian Orphic myth, you have the Orphic egg. The myth of Pangu by the Taoists. There's a myth of an egg in the beginning. Fabergé egg. I mean, there's just a bunch of different ways. Humpty Dumpty sat on his wall. This is the seed of life. Same sort of thing. Egg of life, and seed of life is also called the egg of life. And so you have this idea that in the beginning of all time, all creation, there was some sort of form that encapsulated all of the universe. And one day this form broke, and it expanded out and unfurled and created our universe. And that's exactly what the Hindus are saying. That's exactly what Egypt is saying. That's exactly what modern science is saying. Modern science is saying that from this primordial atom, there was a big bang. And everything emerged from this one point, this one sphere, this one geometric form of creation, if you will. This potential, it was encased inside of this egg, was encased inside of this walnut. Once again, this is just a form that we can use to mythologize this. All the universe was encased inside this walnut, and of course, one day this walnut broke, and we'll get into that. But the point is that what happened is the potential or the pattern, the possibility pattern of the entire tree, pattern comes from the word pater, which means father. And so it's the idea of, we can say, Father Sky, or the creative force, if you will, the giving force, because in sexual union, father gives, mother receives, if you will. The pattern, the pater, the father gives order to the potential, gives pattern to the potential and the possibility of the tree. But the seed has to fall into the ground first. So this walnut has to go into the ground, into Mother Earth. And then we have, and so once the seed goes into the ground, we have that the potential of that sexual, that cosmic sexual union happening. Father Sky mating, unifying with Mother Earth. Mother means, comes from the word mater. It's where we get the word matter. And so this is nothing more than the spirit of the sky. We could see the spirit of the sky, the energy, the father, the pattern, mating with the matter and creating the tree. And I just want to read something here from Richard Feynman. And this is the idea of literally the pattern coming out of the sky to create the form of the tree, the possibility, the potential that's in that seed. This is from Richard Feynman. He's a theoretical physicist. He says, the substance of trees is carbon. Where do we get carbon? Carbon comes from the air. People look at trees and think they come out of the ground. But if you ask, where does the substance come from? Trees come from out of the air. The carbon dioxide goes into the tree and changes it, kicking out the oxygen and leaving the carbon substance with water. Water comes from out of the ground. But how did the water get there? Well, it comes from out of the air. The sun, meanwhile, is doing all the work of separating the oxygen and carbon. The oxygen being the byproduct, it spits back into the air, leaving the carbon and water to make the substance of the tree. Then when we take the substance of the tree and stick it in a fireplace, and once you get that heat to get it started, it makes an awful lot of activity, and all of this nice light comes out. And everything is being undone. You're going back from carbon and oxygen, back to carbon dioxide, and the light and heat that is coming out, that's the light and the heat of the sun that went in. It's stored sun coming out when you burn it. And so this is this idea that everything, literally the sun is making everything. The pattern or the energy from the sun of our father in the sky, if you will, father, son, mating with Mother Earth, comes, you know, has the sexual union with matter and creates the tree. And so the tree literally comes from the air. That's the idea of this is our beginning. This is our beginning. All the potential, all the possibility was once encased inside this egg. Now what we're going to do is take a look at what happened when this egg broke. Now when our first egg of creation broke, this was our first seed, our first walnut, our first primordial atom. When that broke, it unleashed all of the universe. And in Hinduism, this is known as the you see in Genesis, God saying, let there be light. Once again, this is the Big Bang. The Mayan, actually in the Chalam Balam, it's the book of Shalom Balam. It's a creation story book. It says, when there was neither heaven nor earth, sounded the first word of the One. It unloosed God's self from stone-like silence, and it declared its divinity. And all of the vastness of eternity shuddered. So it's this idea that in the beginning there was a bang, a first word sounded in Hinduism, Mayan. Genesis says the same thing. God said, let there be light. So we have this same motif again and again and again, just mythologized in different ways. And so what we're going to do is take a look at the idea that basically what we're going to do is look at fractals. This is the modern day interpretation of this philosophy, but it's the idea that everything is a reflection of this first moment of creation. This is God unveiling itself as the universe to the world. It's unveiling itself and it's unloosing, as the Shalom Balam says, its divinity to the world. And so everything must be a reflection of this first moment of creation. we're going to look at fractals. We're going to look at the idea of as above, so below. As above, so below. This is known as on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Excuse me. This is the idea of Pythagoras said man is made in the image of God. This in Genesis 1:27 says God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. This is the idea that we have these patterns. We have these basically the principles that were unleashed in the first moment of creation are at work right now. And it's the idea that no matter how far you look out into infinity or how far down you go into the interior of ourselves, you know, we could say infinite and finite, it doesn't matter how far you go in either one of those directions, you're going to find the exact same patterns and the exact same principles being played out. And we can understand these. We're going to try to understand these through a walnut. So now the idea of fractals in modern mathematical theory, you can check this out. It's just Mandelbrot's set is probably the most famous one. And it's basically this idea that, fractals is z equals z squared plus c, I believe is what it is. It doesn't really matter. The idea is that you would get a form, and this is known as a set in mathematics. You would take a form, and you would put it into this equation, and then just constantly put it in. You'd get the result, you put it back into the equation. You get the result, you put it back into the equation. It's a set. And you do this with, you know, a billion iterations or whatever, and you'll get basically this mathematical object. And you peer in and peer in and peer into the fractal object, and you're going to get all these different patterns and things that look very much like nature, and then you're going to go right back to the geometric form again, this mathematical object. And you'll do this again and again. It's the idea that in the infinite, in the finite, you're going to find the infinite, and in the infinite, you're going to find the finite.
Pathological monsters, cried the terrified mathematician. Every one of them a splinter in my eye. I hate the Dino space and the Coker. I fear the Cantor ternary set. The Sierpinski gasket makes me wanna cry. And a million miles away, a butterfly flapped its wings on a cold November day. A man named Benoit Mandelbrot was born. His disdain for pure mathematics and his unique geometrical insights left him well equipped to face those demons down. He saw that infinite complexity could be described by simple rules. Used his giant brain and he turned the game around. And he looked below the storm and saw a vision in his head. A bulbous pointed form. Picked his pencil up and he wrote his secret down. Shock test on fire, a deagle pterodactyl. You're a heart-shaped box of springs and wire. One badass fucking fractal. And you're just in time to save the day. Sweeping all our fears away. You can change the world in a tiny way. Mandelbrot's in heaven. At least he will be when he's dead. Right now he's still alive and teaching math at Yale. Gave us order out of chaos. He gave us hope where there was none. His geometry succeeds where others fail. If you ever lose your way, butterfly will flap its wings from a million miles away. Little miracle.
the series of C's will always stay close to Z and never trend away. That point is in the metal right set. Band the right set. You're a Rorschach test on fire. You're a Dingo pterodactyl. You're a heart-shaped box of springs and wire. You want badass being a fractal. And you're just in time to save the day. Sweeping all our fears away. You can change the world in a tiny way. And you're just in time to save the day. Sweeping all our fears away. You can change the world in a tiny way. Go on, change the world in a tiny way. Come on, change the world in a tiny way.
This is the idea of as above, so below. Everything that's out there is down here on earth as it is in heaven. Everything in heaven is down on earth. It's the idea of understanding that there are patterns through the infinite and the finite. You can understand those patterns and thus understand the world in which we inhabit and the universe. And so we're going to explore these. We're going to explore these ideas. We're going to explore how the principles, the cosmological principles, the laws of nature can be understood from this. So that's fractals. Now, the point of fractals is that the fact that you find the same pattern going into the infinite, into the finite, we could call this a hologram, we could call it a simulation, but that basically our material world is basically a simulation. We could call this a hologram, we could call this a simulation, we could call it it's an illusion. Mayan, and Maya, this is Mayan people, Mesoamerica. Maya is Hindu, this is India. Maya, both mean illusion. It's a simulation. It's a perception made by the human being. The infinite is in the finite. This is the idea of fractals, as above, so below, on earth as it is in heaven. The Lakota said the same thing. That which is in the stars is also on the earth, and that which on the earth is also in the stars. That this is an illusion. But that we can understand the mathematics of the simulation of the illusion in a walnut, and that's what we're going to explore. So what we're going to do is break this thing apart. We're going to break this first egg of creation, this walnut, apart, and that's exactly what fractals mean. It means to fracture. It means to fracture, which means to break apart, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And this is known as the primordial scission by R.A. Schwalter de Lubitsch. Primordial scission. Primordial means prime, means first. That's what we're dealing with. First thing in the beginning. First thing. Order. There is an order of the first thing. That's what primordial means. And then there was a cut. And that's exactly what we're going to explore in the moment. So what we can see here is that basically, as Black Elk said, the world works in circles and everything tries to be round. This is obviously not a perfect circle. And everything in nature yearns for this kind of perfection in nature, this perfect circle, though it never actually gets there. So we can see that it yearns to be a circle. So we can mythologize our first seed, our first egg, our first walnut as the perfect circle. We can call this a walnut, we can call this an egg, we can call this a seed, we can call this an atom. What we're going to do is mythologize this as a perfect circle. A circle encapsulates the most amount of space with the least amount of effort. A sphere encapsulates the most volume. And so the idea is that all of the potential, once again, is all encased inside this first egg, this first seed of creation. And we have to understand that there is an order to it. That when this was unleashed, there was an order. It was the first order. It was primordial. It's the primordial atom, primordial seed. So in order to understand this first order, we have to break this thing apart. Because we have to fractal it. We have to fracture it. We have to break it apart. So we're going to take our first circle of creation, and we're going to break it apart. And we can see that's exactly what the walnut is doing. Might be hard to see here. I'll try. But basically, perfect circle. And what we're going to do is we're going to break it apart. And what we're going to do is we're going to crack pie. We're going to find pie, and we're going to take it, and we're going to crack it in two. So here's our pie. Here's our circle. Here's our seed. Here's our atom, and we're going to break it. And, of course, when you break it, you're creating two things. You're creating the circumference and the diameter. Now, what's important here is we can only imagine or approximate this first moment of creation. The universe is too complex. It's too complex to understand, meaning that the complexity of the universe is, you can't simultaneously comprehend it. So there, it's impossible for you to understand the complexity of God's creation. But this is not a cop-out. You can understand the simple principles which create that complexity. And that's what's important. That's exactly what fractals is saying. Fractals will take something like this, a triangle, and put it in a billion iterations and get just these magical, beautiful, natural formations just from a very simple equation, z equals z squared plus c. Very, very simple, creates a complexity that you could possibly not comprehend in one thought, if you will, but you can understand its simplicity. You can understand the principles which created the complexity. We can only approximate this first moment because of the complexity of this first moment. Modern science says that when the Big Bang was unleashed, that you had, you know, millions and millions of things happening, billions and trillions of things happening all at once. You know, all of these chemical reactions, all of these bursting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we can only approximate it. And since we have pi here, that's exactly what the walnut is trying to tell us about. There's a circle and there's a diameter that's going right through it, and we're going to crack that. That's exactly what the walnut is telling us about. It's telling us about, we're going to approximate this first moment of creation. This is pi. And so it would only be reasonable that we would find some approximation of pi. One of the most important, widely used approximations of pi is 3.142. And we're going to find this here. So, and we're going to use the English cipher on this. So circumference is 355, 365, 655, 5135. Circumference equals 53. Diameter equals 33. Diameter plus circumference would equal 86. And we're going to see that's exactly what 3.142. will equal. I'm just going to do this quick here. Two is 13, four is 19, one is 8, point is 18, and three is 28. This is literally 3.142. If you add this up, it equals 86. And so we can get a glimpse at this first moment of creation. 3.142 equals 86. And circumference and diameter. And this is the first thing, this is the first instance of creation.
Through all the bygone ages, philosophers and sages have meditated on the circle's mysteries. From Euclid to Pythagoras, from Gauss to Anaxagoras, their thoughts have filled the library's bulging histories. And yet there was elation throughout the whole Greek nation when Archimedes did his mighty computation. He said, 3.141, oh my, here's a song they'll sing about pi. Not a sigma or mu, but a well-known Greek letter too. You can have your alphas and your great phi bates and omegas for a friend. But that's just what a circle doesn't have, a beginning or an end. 3.14159 is a ratio we don't define. 2 pi times radii gives circumference you can rely. If you square the radius times the pi, you will get the circle space. Here's my song about pi, fit for a mathematician's embrace. Five, nine is a ratio we don't define. 2 pi times radii gives circumference you can rely. If you square the radius times the pi, you will get the circle space. Here's my song about pi, fit for a mathematician's embrace.
What was unleashed? Well, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. Light is love. And I'm not trying to go all new agey on you here, okay? Just stay with me. 86, that's the circumference and diameter, 3.142, 8 plus 6 equals 14. Not only do you have 14 phalanges on your hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14 phalanges on your hand, love equals 14. And light equals 27. You have 27 bones in your hand. Light is love. Love is light. What was unleashed? Pi was created, and it unleashed the handiwork of the great creator, if you will. So, but let's go back to this circle. Let's go back to our walnut again. What happened when we created the circumference and diameter of pi? Well, we created two 180-degree sections. These are two semicircles, arcs, we could call them. These are two 180-degree sections. And notice they're mirrored. They're mirrored. And so basically what we have is our great 360 degrees of a circle, and it's cracked. It was cracked. Humpty Dumpty fell off his wall, if you will. And it created 280-degree sections. Now, what this cracking here is the creation of duality. But it's not really dual. It's not really dual. It's actually two expressions of one universal movement. It's two expressions of love, of light. And this is polarity. This is the Earth. This is the Earth. This is the North Pole. This is the South Pole. One whole creation, one whole Mother Earth created by one pole. North and South. Yin and Yang, Adam and Eve, Shiva and Shakti, centripetal, centrifugal forces, up and down, left and right, forward and reverse. You know, man, woman. This is what we're dealing with here. 280-degree sections. And so this is what the symbolism of the geometry of pi is trying to tell us about. Now, when this thing broke, when this thing cracked in half, it unleashed everything. This is the Big Bang. This is Om. This is the Word of God unloosing itself. From stone-like silence, everything in creation was about to be made, but it didn't crack completely. Why? Why didn't this crack completely? Because if this cracked completely, you would have two different universes. You'd have two different universes separated, going out, pushing away from each other into infinity. But we don't have that. Our universe is held together perfectly. This is one of the main problems in science. Why is the universe held together? Well, we can understand that through geometry, because in the first moment, once again, we're approximating this first moment. We're imagining this first moment. We're trying to get an understanding of it geometrically. In this first moment, it didn't break apart like this. It actually unified itself. And this is the Vescapisces. This is the Vescapisces. I'm not going to go into this too much here, but it's the idea that the two halves, the polarity, the yin and yang, the left and the right, overlapped itself and created the central womb. And this is the womb. This is the mother of all creation. This is mother giving birth to creation. This is called the central womb. It's called the golden womb. And this is the idea that everything, when pi cracked, when we cracked pi, everything unfurled from that central womb. And getting back to this central womb is the idea of religion. This is the idea of religion. re means to do again. Ligio means to link. It's to bind. It's to chain. I've heard this expressed that religion is the idea that your people are binding you from your true freedom, binding you from your liberty. Well, that's true. Absolutely. When you organize it, when you organize religion, that's your problem. Religion has never been the problem. Organizing it is. You don't need anyone to tell you how to get back in your meditation, in your thoughts, in your psyche, in your spirit, in your emotions. You don't need anyone to tell you how to get back to that first moment of creation. You just got to go. You can find it in a walnut if you want. You can do this when you crack an orange. The symbolism of cracking an orange or cracking walnut is walnut. It was right there saying go back to the first moments of creation. Link those two together. So ligio means link, bind, chain. Isn't it interesting that the first thing is an egg? Yolk and yolk. A yolk is the golden part of the egg inside, and a yolk is where we get the word yoga, which means union, union, union. Yoga is, we get the word yoga from yolk, yolk and yolk. This is a link, the chain. A yolk is a link, the chain, and a yolk is the golden light within the egg. Same phonetics. We're going to yoga. We're going to unionize. We're going to unify ourselves. We're going to link ourselves back through the process of religion to that first moments of creation. We certainly don't need a church to do that. We certainly don't need a good book to do that. We certainly don't need a pastor or a preacher to do that. All we need is us. And that's what religion means. It means link yourself back to this first moment of creation. Go right back to the source, the undifferentiated light of the creator. That's what it's saying. Go right back to this. This is why when you go into a church, if you notice this Vesca Piscis here, this is the archway of a church. What are you doing? You're going back to God.
As we arise from out of the primordial waters of chaos, as Amun-Ra, the sun god, emerged from the lotus flower, I invoke the ancient Egyptian deity Shu, while inheriting the vibrational force of Tefnut. In the hermetic form of Gid, we manifest as the nine and ad, embrace the face of the space, and behold a mystic triad of Ad-Turi. Three of us initiated from the majestic temple of Karnak, where the opening of the mouth ceremony is performed. With the uraeus, the crown of the sacred cobras will be placed upon my forehead. In the valley of the kings, I walk as Inhotep, descendant of Ramses the second. I cast the incantation, the curse of King Tut, and watch the scattered beetles eat away at your flesh. So witness the splendor of Luxor as I summon the Nitiru Zuzor, while performing the great oracle of Tahuti. I call forth Rahuru, Kahuti, and the field of offering will be drank from the battles within the center face of the great pyramids of Giza. I possess the spirit of my ancient ancestors, Osiris. Through the perception of my iris, I perceive Horus as the apparition of Isis. My soul wasn't placed inside a solid gold sarcophagus, and then imprinted upon my chest was the arm, the key to the afterlife, where my soul will seek eternal life.
For over 2,000 years, ancient Egyptians believed that their dead set sail on a sacred journey to a wondrous afterlife.
Hieroglyphics, not just pictures, but a celestial linguistic, not related to a specific terrestrial distance. Ancient Egyptian civilization came from Mars, all people equal to that of Elijah, the guides to make the pilgrimage to the mountain of Sinai, where the spine eye watches as the prophets speak Nawapic in the temple of Amun-Ra. Nine astronomers graph the formula for the southern cross. Four rise from the dark side with our laws. Orchids provide the planet with organic life, holding a skull of Iblis in the background with Egypt's sun eclipse. Poltergeist close to Christ, the solid Apollo crushed me deep on the left of me, dagger through my chest place, but I escaped just like a gardener in the upper room. 10 peasants, 2 not present, Mary Magdalene sprinkle it all on my abdomen, fill my wounds, empty tomb, presume I was on a bus. Drop your fishing rod, bait the weak who hate to speak of love, came to my own but they received me not when my CD drop became. Even with the Sanhedrin baptized in the Jordan, recording John's last sermon, his accent was sort of German. Told the slave driver the table's turning on the grave robber. Hey Nicodemus, drop your idolatry and follow me. Drop your net, catch the catfish while he backflip. Don't hold him captive, drop him. when the tide changed, that I was rendered. I have not ascended yet, I returned to Jerusalem, walking with Methuselah, the arrival of Shiloh, passing up the scepter, healing up the lepers. I came to the lost sheep to toss beats for them the right tool. Primitive but not limited to 16 balls in a sun cycle. Michael transformed to Yannon from the lagoon in the galaxy phrase Ilyun. Soon as June 26th, the mummy knits a new grave, a paved in jade, a curse for those who impose.
Ancient Egyptian religion warns all who dare defile the tomb of mighty Pharaoh. He who shall injure my tomb, the sun god shall punish him.
The Iris, Osiris, I walk amongst the fires, relentless to the ancient land of Memphis, carrying the sacred capstone on 40 arms. I'm greeted by a group of master masons, silk adorned, who wore the charms of Horus, the Avenger. I said, I am a messenger from Netaru. Are you prepared for what I bear to you? They jested to the east, the shackles were released. I heard the moans of the beast. It was then that the granite was implanted with the positive chi energy. The slope became slanted on the angle equal to the distance that the sun's light must travel, unraveling the linens of nine kings and women, hence the beginning of the obelisk, raising ritual, science of tachyon force, habitual but lost, when the last piece of brick was tossed, the first Roman script embossed on the column base, the first emperor defiled and defaced the sarcophagus face, they couldn't imitate, so they had to replace benevolent Egyptian magic with a malevolent race.
Let's get back to fracturing this egg here. Once again, we took our egg of creation. I'm just going to draw this again, excuse me. We took our egg of creation and we cracked it. This cracking is the man and woman. Let's say black and white, 180 degrees each. This is man and woman. This is nothing more than the Gemini, if you will. This is Gemini. This is... What we could say, this is Isis and Osiris. Gemini is the twins. Excuse me. Isis, Osiris, man, woman, Adam, Eve. This is inner sky. This is in Egypt. This is in Christianity or in the Bible. I guess I should say. This is also in the Mayan. If you have the creation story, you have the hero twins. You have twins. Adam and Eve, Isis and Osiris. This is what geometrically what this represents. Adam and Eve, polarity. You see this right on your hands. You see this right in the walnut. Once again, that's what we're dealing with, the walnut. So where do we find this 180 degrees? Well, just put your hands out. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10. And I'm just going to do the numerical equivalents here quick. You can pause the video and double check all this if you'd like. This is 6. And so 1 equals 8, 2 equals 13, 3 equals 28, 4 equals 19. 5 equals 21, 6 equals 14, 7 equals 22, 8 equals 30, 9 equals 12, and then 10 equals 13. 8 plus 13 plus 28 plus 19 plus 21 plus 14 plus 22 plus 30 plus 12 plus 13 equals 180. And of course, we can equate that 180 to the left and right hemispheres of our circle, of our great pie that was cracked. So when you stick your hands out, doing the gematria equivalents, using the English cipher on your hands, you get, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 equals 180. So when a man and woman join hands, let's do this here. One too many fingers. And then let's do this here. Sorry for my poor drawing. This is 180 degrees of Adam. and this is 180 degrees of Eve. And so when they join, two people join hands in union, once again, in yoging, linking each other, binding each other, what you're doing is you're creating that 360 degrees of that first egg of creation. And once again, what is this? What happens when two people are joining hands together like that? Well, it's a symbolic act of, once again, love. It's love. And that's what we're dealing with here. It's the cosmic union. It's the union of spirit and matter. It's the sexual union. It's two people coming together in understanding and appreciation of one another. That's what it is. And that's what the great force of the universe is. And that's what was unleashed, the love of God. You just have to merge the opposites to understand that great. You just have to understand. And this exists within you as well, because you are made of electromagnetism. Electromagnetism is nothing more than a polarity, which means that within every man is a woman, within every woman is a man. You, in order to be 360 or whole yourself, you have to have both aspects in there. So man is made with electromagnetism. Electromagnetism has a polarity or a gender, and that's exactly what we're dealing with here. And so, and that's to love the self and to love another as well. What we've done here is when we cracked pie and created the hero twins, the Adam and Eve, we created the 280-degree sections, black and white. Well, first and foremost, what happened was the yin-yang. This is also the hunabku, I think is how you pronounce it, in Mayan. Same idea, though, almost same story, that Adam and Eve swirled with one another, and in each opposites is the other gender. And this is electromagnetism. It's polarity, yin-yang, Shiva-Shakti, same thing. And so really what we did is by walking through all this, what we did is actually go through the seven hermetic principles as well. I'm just going to read these off, and we're going to see what happened here. This is from this Emerald Tablet of Hermes and the Kabayan, two classic books on hermetic philosophy. Great book. Must pick this up. These are the seven principles, hermetic principles, laws of nature, basically. There's seven of them. The principle of mentalism, the all is mind. The universe is mental. That's exactly what we were saying. All the potential, all the possibility, all the pattern was once encased inside an egg. It was all mental. And it only cracked to create the material, but it started from mental. The all is mind. The further you look out, you're just looking in. Fractals, as above, so below, same idea. The next is the principle of correspondence, which is as above, so below, as below, so above. Same thing, we're talking about fractals. This is the principle of vibration. Nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. That's the idea of the Om, the word that unloosed itself. It's that Om, everything is moving, everything is flowing in the river of time. Pantereia is what it means, all flows. This is what Heraclitus said. Everything is constantly in motion, everything is constantly moving. Of course it is, because we have an expanding universe. It's exactly what modern science is saying. Principle of polarity, this is the number four. Principle of polarity, everything is dual, everything has poles, everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes meet, all truths are but half-truths. All paradoxes must be reconciled. That's the reconciliation of the polarity right there, the unification of opposites, the coincidentia positorum. This is the principle of rhythm, number five. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swings. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. Once again, polarity. There's a harmony between these two. That's exactly what it's saying. And everything is flowing out and in, high tides, low tides, ebb and flow, in and out, yin and yang, centripetal, centrifugal. Everything is constantly moving. Everything is flowing. And it's the unification of the two. This is number six, the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. Once again, we're just talking about the law in one respect is understanding this first moment of creation, what the law is. We just went over them. What is the law of God? The law is to unify. The law is love. And the final one here is, and this really hits it home. Number seven, the principle of gender. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes, and that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the gender. We're talking about yin swirling with yang. We're talking about unifying, taking man and woman within the self, as well as in the external environment, recognizing the merging of spirit and matter. That's what we're talking about. Father Sky, Mother Earth, merge them. And so this is the idea of gender. And so those are the seven hermetic principles. Now, this is pi. This is what we started with. We went and cracked pi. We took pi and we took that circle of creation. We went and cracked it, found the diameter, found the circumference. And pi, first off, is pi is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. There were seven hermetic principles. Notice. 7 days of creation in Genesis, seven tablets of creation in the Enuma Elish. It's a Sumerian text. 7 equals 22, and 22 divided by 7 is pi. That's 3.142, the approximation of pi that we used. Circumference and diameter equals 86. 3.142 equals 86. But we're not done. We said that what was unleashed from here but love, right? Because we said, once again, circumference diameter equals 86. 3.142 equals 86. 8 plus 6 is 14. We have 14 phalanges on our hands. And love equals 14. 1 plus 4 equals 5. And once again, that's the five fingers on your hand. So hopefully you can see this. This is really what this is, the walnut expressing the fractal nature of the first moment of creation. The primordial scission, if you will, of the primordial atom, the primordial egg, the sphere of creation. You can almost see, you can almost imagine there's like a dark space there. You can almost imagine a point there. And then, of course, that point exploding out, and even looks like an explosion out, yet remaining unified but broken apart. And so 180 degrees and see it like that, 180 degrees and 180 degrees. And of course, we found that 180 on the hands of Adam and the hands of Eve. And so that's what really what we're looking at here. We're looking at yin-yang, Shiva-Shakti, Adam and Eve, story of creation in a nutshell.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I bring forth the big equation of any hypotenuse of a right angle triangle minus the square root of the sum of a cube shape square. On both sides, I am the island in the center of the triangle. I restate my assumptions. Mathematics is the language of the universe. Everything around us can be represented, overstood through numbers. If you have the number of any systems, patterns emerge. Therefore, geometrically, there are patterns everywhere in nature. I begin to search for the sigma code, the 9 fifths points, and the width from 0.3, 14, 15, 92, 65, 35, and 89 equals the multiple of pi, the numerical value that adds up from 0 to 9. Every time, this is the exact number of pi. Count it out to 9 and divide it by 10. Carry through 30 and 2. Digits, no math, no human or mathematician has ever been able to figure out how to calculate the basic decimal point of the equation of 9 to the 9th power of 9, or the diameter of a circle divided into the circumference of the square. It's a free mathematics that appears here, so fair not to all MCs step within the square. Remember Pythagoras and where we got his equations from, by standing in front of the sarcophagus within the king's chamber, beneath the base of the great pyramid, ancient Tamarind, partially being called Egypt. The Pythagoreans, mathematicians, co-leaders, the first of them was born in Athens, Greece in 500 BCE. His major belief was that the universe was made of numbers. His major contribution in life, the golden ratio, Leonardo da Vinci rediscovered the balance perfection, golden rectangle, and penciled it into his masterpieces, connecting a curve through the concentric golden triangle. You generate the mythical golden spiral. Pythagoras loved the shape, for he found everything in nature, from seashells to rampants to whirlpools to tornadoes. Our fingerprints, our DNA, and even our Milky Way. You see, mathematics appears everywhere when measuring distant galaxies. We have math and mathematical reasoning. That's between 1, 2, and 3. And have traveled 3, 5, and 7. And now we hold the key, which is the arm to the Pythagorean theorem. That's between 1 and 9. We have math and mathematical reasoning. That's between 1 and 2 and 3. And have traveled 3, 5, and 7. And now we hold the key, which is the arm to the Pythagorean theorem. That's between 1 and 9.
Listen to yourself, you're connecting a computer book I had with a computer book you might have had in some religious Hogwarts. You want to find the number 216 in the world, you will be able to find it everywhere. 216 steps from your street corner to your front door, 216 seconds you spend riding on the elevator. When your mind becomes obsessed with anything, you will filter everything else out and find that thing everywhere.
In the magnificent world of arithmetic, which is the hidden mystery within the equation of 9 to the 9th power of 9, the number 9. Is it odd or is it even? Me 5 and 9 are even, and in sequence of integers that define right angleness within the triangular measurements. So we begin to start counting from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But where is the number 9 seen at last in the line before 0 slips in? So we begin to start counting again. Is the number 9 the last stop? Where does it begin and where does it end? Get a stepping stone, the 5 and 4, and they seem to have a special numerical system to them. 3 and 6 plays with affection, and 9 is also 3 times 3, multiplying the Faraday code from 12 times 12 from 3 sets of 3, and the result will be 216 digits off into infinity. So if you divide 144,000 into 233, the answer will approach to be data, the key to understanding the golden spiral. 9 is also twice 4 plus 1, but 4 is equal to 2 plus 2. So perhaps deep down in the fabrics of numbers, I subdue you and all of those who mathematically do not have a clue. We have math and mathematical reasoning. That's between 1, 2, and 3. And have traveled 3, 5, and 7. And now we hold the key, which is the arm to the Pythagorean theorem. That's between 1 and 9. We have math and mathematical reasoning.
I'm sure you've written down every 216-digit number. You've translated all of them. You've intoned them all, haven't you? What's it gotten you? The number is nothing.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.